Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text of the seventh commandment from Exodus, you shall not steal. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector and was rich. I wonder how it all started for him, not his climb up the sycamore tree, but his climb down into breaking the seventh commandment. He probably didn't start out planning to be a thief, to bilk people out of their money. It may have started as fear, or as worry, or as desire, or as taking advantage of market inefficiencies. I'll just take a little bit here to help with the bills for my family. I'm just borrowing it, that's all. I'll give it back eventually. It's not greed, it's not hoarding, it's just good planning. They don't need it as much as I do. They've got enough, they won't miss this little bit. Well, being a tax collector is how I earn my living. And it's within my purview to mark up their bill. It's not technically wrong, not really stealing. The law lets me do it. And then more justifications. Well, I contribute to society in other ways. I give back. I even give to God. As if God can be bought off. And then Zacchaeus, devising a scheme to cover his tracks, working for himself rather than for his neighbor. And it goes on and on. Zacchaeus didn't get to where he was in a single day. It was a slow slide with 1,000 small compromises and flimsy excuses along the way. And if it's not the small slide, small compromises and flimsy excuses to take what God hasn't given you, then it's the small compromises and flimsy excuses to not help my neighbor to improve and protect his possessions and income. All the reasons I have for not being generous, for not giving myself, for not expending my time and my energy. Because I can't possibly help everyone, can I? Because they've made bad decisions, should I bear the burden? Because that person doesn't deserve my help. Tell me, Zacchaeus, where did you get the things you have? Did you deserve all the help that you received? Are you entitled to your earthly goods? Have you never benefited from someone else's generosity? Man is greedy by nature. The last week is another confirmation of that. Avarice is our fallen condition to never be satisfied, to always want more, to seek security in money or goods. Zacchaeus came by it naturally. At the heart is unbelief. Being people of little faith, we haven't trusted the Lord our God. We see him as unreliable, as too stingy with us, but overly generous with others. So I've got to look out for myself, because he won't. My future is in my hands. That's why we steal and cheat and stockpile and hold tightly to our earthly goods, as if they provide security. But how much do you need to be secure? And when is it enough? Don't you know that God is zealously watching over everything? Even over all of the sectors of our economic life? He doesn't ignore these things as being beneath his concern or too earthly. He desires a community, a genuine community, of labor and commerce among us, of hard work, of care for the world, and concern for the welfare of the neighbor. Generosity, not greed, characterizes the life of a disciple. Earthly goods aren't bad. We're earthly creatures. Our lives require earthly goods. They're needed for our well-being. They're needed for the well-being of our neighbors. They provide enjoyment in life for us. And God made the earth. He made everything in it. So things aren't naturally evil or sinful, but our use of them might be, especially when we make earthly goods into our gods. That's when they become a hindrance and a stumbling block. Zacchaeus may have thought that he was seeking Jesus, but the reality is that Jesus was seeking him. When Jesus came to that sycamore tree, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Jesus came not to receive Zacchaeus' generosity. He came to show generosity. He may have been the guest, but in reality, he was the host. He was the host of forgiveness and mercy and freedom from fear and worry and greed. And the response that Jesus receives is the expected one. They couldn't believe that Jesus would choose the one who had it all to receive more. The one who had so callously taken and stolen from others. They all grumble. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. If that isn't the pot calling the kettle black, who isn't a sinner? And if he doesn't dine with sinners, with whom will he dine? And now with Jesus there, with Jesus standing in his house, Zacchaeus' hold on earthly things begins to relax. To receive Jesus joyfully, Zacchaeus had to let go of other things. And this is the great change worked in Zacchaeus that day. He repented. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." This is not a bargain for mercy. This is not an attempt to buy forgiveness. This is a response of faith, the fruit of repentance, the outworking of salvation. Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." But can sin be erased just like that? How can a thief get off scot-free? After all he did, after all the people he hurt, well, this salvation did cost something. Redemption is pricey, but it can't be bought with gold or silver. It was purchased and won for Zacchaeus and for you with the holy, precious blood of Jesus and with his innocent suffering and death. Jesus' willingness to help, his willingness to give, his willingness to be generous with Zacchaeus and with sinners like us is limitless. And our Lord's generosity is not just for the sake of the endless world to come. It's also for the sake of your body and your life here. Even the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the roof over your head is given to you because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. If God were holding our sin against us, do you think he would give us any of that? I'm also apt to think here, when we think of this greed, about children. Children can exhibit some of the worst of our human nature, the constant screams of "mine, mine, mine." But I also find in children sometimes the greatest picture of generosity. How often have my children taken some of their most treasured possessions, or even things that they actually need, and wrapped them up to give to others, even to people they hardly know, without any arm twisting, without any coercion, just freely giving their things away? They have a real freedom with regard to possessions and an enjoyment of their possessions that is unsurpassed, even while they have the ability to let them go so easily. May God work in us such an inner childish freedom and joy in giving. And of course, the seventh commandment is not just about keeping our hands off our neighbor's things. We're called to help them in an active way, not just to wish them well and say, stay warm, but to provide a coat or a hot meal or a helping hand. This Lent, dear Christian, cultivate the habit of generosity and struggle against the desire to have more and to cling to this perishing world and the worship of mammon. Instead of taking or withholding, give. Invest in the well-being of your neighbors like Zacchaeus did. Like Zacchaeus, you have a rich Lord. You have a rich Lord who surely is able to meet all of your needs and who will let you lack or want for nothing. Our God may be otherworldly and he may be invisible to our eyes, but he isn't blind to our needs, nor is he unconcerned with our earthly welfare. What you seek, seek from him. Seek from the living God. Pray for your daily bread and for everything connected with it, and give away the goods of this world as if you're a guest in a foreign inn. You came into the world naked, and that's how you'll leave it. But there's a lot of good that you can do while here. From dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. So work and sweat, but in joyful confidence and trust in God's blessings, knowing that all things depend on his divine blessing and not on our work. Live with your property and your possessions, but live from God. Use what you have to serve. Look to the return of your judge and your savior. Rejoice in creation. Do to others as Christ has done for you. Not because you're justified by what you do, not because you're justified by how well you keep the law, but because you're justified by him, and you are free to live like it.